we're asking our community for the $50,000 to have these people basically act as our economic development director, which I think they've done a very good job at that. I can turn to them and ask them a question. I can turn to them and ask them the data. I can say, this person needs this information, and they are there for us. And to me, that has a lot of value when you're trying to grow your community. And we have one of the guys in the audience, I believe he owns one of the areas over there that could use some retail and has some empty buildings or in that local area. So I don't know as if we'd have engaged in even any of the owners of the buildings over at Sendex. We've had no discussion pulling in Mr. O'Malley, the other people on Verde Park. We've had no discussion on that yet. So I think it's time we could step this up a little bit, and we've got the people to help us do that. And I think it's working. We just need to put the effort into it and stop discounting the fact that we can't have this because. You put the effort into it, and you can make it happen if you want to make it happen. And we've got the help to do that.
Mayor Wilson, I completely appreciate your feedback and obviously respect your opinion on that regard. A couple of things on the different items you hit on. First off, the data being at a census block level. We're honestly the only firm in the marketplace that works from a household level. And Scout itself, from a data visualization standpoint, it's reflected at a block group level. So in other words, just like I showed the zoomed out view of 2 million locations, if I would have truly done each individual point, it would have just been complete black on the screen. So from a data visualization standpoint, that's 100% standard in the industry. In terms of the approach, the methodologies, the models that are working in the background, that's all off the household level. We did create you personally a custom layer for that data so that you could definitely see that distribution a little more clear, I guess, for a project or things that you were working on, I'm not sure. But I know we did go in and do that for you. On the major wholesale retailer that did add two new locations to the market, not saying that if this would have began years ago and been proactive, you potentially could have been that candidate for them because they were looking at the market. That speaks to the need of a community to be proactive with retail recruitment. If you take the standpoint of not being proactive and take your foot off the gas at this point, so to speak, you'll probably continue to get looked over by retail. You'll continue to see new retail pop up all around you and remove the opportunity of having that growth within your community. So, just those couple things that I wanted to hit on. You mentioned several feedback on some of the retailers. That two-month delay, that pause we had in there at that time, that's where it's a collaborative process with you. We would have welcomed all that feedback and worked through those different opinions with you. It's not at the end of the day that it's, here's your 20 and that's it. No, you have to be comfortable. We oftentimes have communities come in and say, for whatever reason, we don't want to pursue that retail. I'll come back and from a professional standpoint, let them know, look, you're a great fit. You're a great candidate for this. We do feel firmly and strongly that if you pursue that retailer, you would be successful. But at the end of the day, it's up to you. You don't want to pursue that retailer for whatever reason. I can share with you what the data says, but everyone has their own opinions and standpoint, and I'm not going to try to convince people otherwise. I'll bring in the next best fit. So at that point in the process, that is the intent. That is where the collaboration should come in. So I strongly encourage you, if we're able to continue into the second year, to be personally involved in that. We want that feedback. Everyone in this room knows your community from a different perspective that we don't. We know how the data shows your community. We know what a retailer will look at your community. But there's pieces of information that only you know, and we need that information. It just helps you be more successful.
Let me back up and start over again. First of all, I understand where Alderman Wilhelm's coming from. She's got a passion. She wants to, as all of us, want to create a community. I get that. I've been trying to do that since 1991. I've been doing it since 1991, so I understand the market conditions. And what I would look to you as a paid consultant to the city is to adapt the data set and the responses you get to our unique conditions. And what disturbs me, frankly, is when we get a response that says, we're not interested in the market, whether it's Milwaukee or us, I don't care, the market, We're not interested in that market. My view is your responsibility to understand that before you give us the name. My point of view. I sit in the middle chair for a purpose. Sometimes I have to be the bad guy. That's very important. Now, we talked about the data set, and you did fix it for us. But it speaks to the level of community knowledge that we need to put forth the best image of our community. For those of you sitting on the audience, they have a very good data set. They said that the average income in the area west of here, slightly north, was what it is, almost $100,000 on a household. But they have the value of those homes, which is important to some retailers, at less than my subdivision, which is a working man's subdivision to the east of here. It wasn't their fault. It's because their data set was, they were taking data from too large of an area, and it was including the park and the rock and empty spaces. They rightly so changed their data set. But I would have looked to you to understand that before I had to make that call. Still skewed wrong, which doesn't help us, but it is what it is. But I would be looking for more of a consultative, more of a refined data and input from you should we choose to move forward with this contract. Because at the end of the day, we're talking $50,000 in a budget that's tight. Are we getting our $50,000 value for the money we're spending? Not defaming the company at all. My issue has always been we're a little early on this because we don't have a product to sell.
And again, completely respect that and appreciate the feedback. Again, we welcome, if it's your personal involvement, if it's the full council, whoever it may be, we welcome definitely a lot more involvement than we had in the beginning stages. I think that a lot of those different feedback and opinions could have been changed at that point had that involvement been. So I welcome you to personally be involved. That's what we want.
And I have. I have been. No one else caught the issues that I caught. By the way, let's not make assumptions that current owners of properties in this city have not taken advantage of us having this data set. One of them was mentioned this evening. Took it, looked at it, went. No reflection on you. It's a reflection on him. Looked at it, put it aside, and said, thanks. I don't need that. Not you. Not a problem with Buxton. It's a problem with the developer. So, anyway, anyone else? Mr. City Attorney.
I was going to ask one question, but then Alderman Wilhelm answered it. Ask if the reference to 4 or 5 phone calls with a high quality restaurant retail person was the same confidential individual that Alderman Wilhelm is aware of, but it's also that answer is yes.
The other question I have for you is if we choose to move forward, it's my view and the view of local developers that I've talked with that our opportunities are much better with local retailers and restaurateurs. What services do you have to offer of that? Because the national ones have different sets of criteria.
Sure. So within our database of what we match to, it does include regional concepts. If there are ones that are in your market that maybe only potentially have 1 to 2 locations, in that event, we can do exactly what we've done and I have personally done for the individual I referenced earlier. So do a custom one-off comparable to their existing location. So it's very hard, obviously, to tell if a retailer has 2 locations. Is this a high performer and a low performer? And if so, what are the factors truly causing that? Because you have less observations from our perspective from a data world. So it's challenging to go through this process. We treat those as a one-off and do a custom comparable, just simply illustrating here's all the factors that would be important to that type of concept, and here's how your existing market stacks up or ranks for those, and then here's how the potential new location compares for those. So if there's specific ones that you're personally interested in or any of the council, those are pieces of information that we want to know so that we can take those deep dive one-off looks at it. It's just a single location.
It's restaurants such as, even though we've had conversations with them already. Bartolotta Restaurant Group, probably not on your horizon. There's senior moment. There's 100 of, well, there's not. There's probably 25 of them in the Wisconsin area that may be interested in the city of Franklin, don't know us, that I'm hoping you'd know. That's the kind of detail I'm looking for. We're just not going to get some of these, and I'm a practical guy. You're a sales guy. I'm a sales guy. You're trying to sell me. I get it, but I'm a practical guy looking at the list, and I'm saying, no way in hell, because I know.
So, again, I would have welcomed that feedback 5, 6, 7, 8 months ago when we started that process.
Okay.
Because
David, Cheyenne, we ran down the list. We don't need to get into that. What I'm looking for is something to move forward. Because if we move forward, I'd like to have a different value for our constituents. So we are talking 50 grand.
Sure.
Call her one more.
Well, if I don't know who would just pop into the community and know everything about our community, and it's our job to provide that. You know, if there's a restaurant owner like the one that we are discussing, that's interesting. I take the name to Cody. We can take the name to Cody. It's our job to assist in that process. And I think that's where it's fallen short. Now, you said you've been involved in, you know, this economic development and you know all the issues since 1991. Franklin has fallen really short in the retail area.
Correct.
So maybe the process hasn't been working. And this is, since I've been involved in the city of Franklin since the year 2000, this is the most action I've seen ever on retail interest in the city of Franklin. I'm not willing to drop the ball right now. We have momentum going. It takes a while. You don't just automatically have someone, here they are, and they're going to build. I mean, it always takes a while to get something going. And I think we got a great start, especially when we hear that this is only 5 months into it. And I know that's true, because I saw the emails on the delays, that even the letters to the retailers couldn't get out the door. So I appreciate that they've been very patient in working with us, and I would like to continue.
And you know, at the end of the day, if it's something that we want to look at as far as moving into year two, if it's saying, you know what, hey, let's not go through the full process of identifying that next subset. We're open to working with you as far as figuring out what could that look like in terms of investment, as continuing to support you on this group and delay that process of getting in that next group for a year or two. Look, we want you to be successful. I'm not just a sales guy. I get very passionate about helping communities make their community a better place to live, work, and play. If you question that, look at some of the work that we do and some of the presentations we do, some of the different things we do to give back to communities to help them. Just recently, two communities, we helped one recruiting a call center to their downtown that added 500 jobs to their community. Another one, we helped recruit in an aquatic center over a neighboring community that adds not only tax revenues and jobs. So we're there as a part. It's not even just retail. Our partnership is much more than retail. It truly does infiltrate into a number of different city services. And we're there as that partner for you, but we have to know what are those objectives and where are we going.
Alderman Willow.
I think it would be important to let some of the retailers out there know that we have Buxton on board, and that if they need data that can help grow their business, it's there for them. I don't think we've sent any information out to any of the retailers letting them know that. It hasn't happened. And so how can you make use of a really good data set if you're sitting on it? And Nick has been great. But there needs to be a little more dedication there. You said you've been involved, but not to the level that apparently needs to happen if they're not getting the information that they need to change those retailers soon enough to make that happen. So, again, we got some great momentum, and that's a terrific place for this community to be in.
Alderman Mayer, and then Alderman Mayer.
So, according to our action sheet, September 20th is when we need to let you know if we're going to continue or not?
There was a communication that I sent out a while back extending that all the way up to, obviously, the anniversary date. So, because I know you're going through the budgeting process and everything now internally, and we're going all the way up to November 10th, that is when the initial contract was issued. So we've got time in there. So I've already waived the 60-day mark that's legally in the contract.
Okay, thank you. Because I would like to hear from Nick and some of the others about how this has been working for them and maybe get input from the Economic Development Commission. And maybe Joel could weigh in and Mark on this as well to inform us. So I would see tabling this for another meeting, depending on how the discussion all goes tonight. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Well, I guess I have a little bit of a concern because if Nick is the only one working on it, I mean, I feel bad for him because he's busy with a lot of different things. My understanding was that the retail area was going to be given over to the EDC to work on these things. I'm wondering whatever happened to that. Why isn't the EDC really working on it? If you have someone on the EDC that doesn't know where Verde Park is, maybe he's not the right person to be working on it. But even if he is, why is he the only one? Why is it Nick the only one? I'm just wondering if we're just underutilizing Buxton and it's not the information isn't moving fast enough and we could be much further along than we are right now.
I think that's a fair question. The answer to your question is yes, it's been the November 4th motion, placed it under the Economic Development Commission for their action and their management and their interaction. Questions revolving around what they are or aren't doing got to go to that group. I can't.
Okay, then I would like to add that to the request from Alderman Mayer that the EDC, including the gentleman who's actually working on it, what his involvement has been in detail, what he's done, and how long he's been working on it.
I think that's appropriate. I think that's the way it should happen. Relative to the individual who was making the calls, who is a professional, professional salesperson and banker, I don't know how he got assigned that project. I don't know if he just took it up on his own or was assigned it by the chairman. Regardless of that.
Why wouldn't you know that?
Because I don't know the appointment details of every board and commission that we have. We've got 22 boards and commissions. I know he was doing it. I don't know how he got to do it. That information, frankly, isn't of use to me. I don't care. He was doing it. So, but the point I want to make is he was doing it. None of us should take issue with what he did or how he did it because he did it. Okay? That's like saying, well, I'm not going to go there. So, I agree. We ought to have... We probably should have a meeting where Nick does a presentation, the EDC discusses, has to do a joint and discuss it with the EDC. Absolutely. But again, I'm looking for a different type of information from Buxton and Cody and Cheyenne and
Eric.
I was going to say Eric. Sorry. See, we can have a conversation, if you'd like, about the nature of that, and perhaps we can structure something differently. Because although you say it's working, and yes, we've got a little bit of results, I think it can be better if we choose to go forward. Alderman Wilhelm, let's do Alderman Schmidt first.
Yeah. Well, I think each meeting that we have with you, we're breaking the ice a little bit further, and I think we've had a good give and take here this evening on what we are looking for, or information at the our mayor would like to see that we can continue to move forward with this, and I don't think at this point it would be worth just abandoning the ship and saying, well, we're going to go on our own. And we have, if you've been kind enough to extend the deadline that we can get a little bit more evaluation yet to help proceed in the future. I just don't think that you have some valuable assets that can be utilized yet, and based on some of the information that you should have received tonight. So I look forward to continuing our progress.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Maybe if some of them don't remember, I'm the Aldermanic representative on the Economic Development Committee. So if you're looking for feedback about what the Economic Development Committee has been doing or what's been holding up the process, I can answer those questions for you. As Cody said, 5 months he's really been active on this. There's been many delays. The letters were told not to be sent out. What can the committee do when they have no retailers to work with because no letters are being sent out? It makes our job very challenging. The Economic Development Committee has been down members. Some members have just been appointed. One of the members that was very active and wonderful on the committee, extremely intelligent and hardworking, moved off out of Franklin and made a motion to request this council reconsider her because of her high level of expertise. That motion never came to the council. So it's been a challenge working on that committee to get things done when the committee makes motions and we're down members and the like. So my concern with not making the motion tonight is the budget comes up on the 22nd. If the money doesn't get in the budget, we're all stuck here trying to fight it to get it in the budget. And if we can't make that budget change because we're told the budget's tight, we heard it, there goes our economic development opportunity and all the work we put into it for the 5 months. So I'm very disappointed that we would lose the ground that we have if we hold off on that to hear a report from staff who I can tell you what the challenges are, and you had your consultants here telling you what the challenges have been as well. And I think that we have some good opportunities coming up. We've been looking at 76 and Ross, and we know that there's a major property owner that's interested in bringing some things forward. If we could work more closely with some of those people that are there and there was more support seen for that area, I think we could really start to see things happen very quickly. And I'm in favor of making the motion, but I don't want to make the motion to see it fail, so I would be interested to learn what kind of comments everyone else has about that issue and the comments that I just made about the delays.
By the way, for the record, there is one vacancy on the Economic Development Commission. One.
No.
One. So, just for the record. No, it's consistent. It's been one all along. The one member that we just appointed is the appointment for the vacancy created by Jessica Kent moving out of the city. And the appointment that was made to replace her, I'd be hard-pressed to find anybody more qualified than that person. So, anyway. Is there action regarding this item? My preference would be to table to the first meeting of November and have that joint meeting, as we discussed, with the Economic Development Commission, a report from Mr. Fuchs, relative to their activity. Whatever motion you choose. Alderman Mayer.
Paul, could you explain the budget process, dates and times? And
Mark's the budget director, but
Mr. Liberta?
The budget's being presented. The mayor's recommended budget is being presented to you at a special common council meeting next Tuesday. 22nd, there's a two-week period where all of us who work directly and contact department heads with questions that they have on the budget. So that gives you 2 weeks to review the document before you begin debate and discussion at the committee of the whole meeting on October the 5th. Discussion on the budget can then be agendaed for any regular or special common council meeting after that, so you can also discuss it at your regular meeting on October 6th. You can have other discussions. If any changes have been made to it before, I think it's around October 13th or 19th, one of those two dates, that's when we send the public hearing notice to the paper for the public hearing on the budget, which happens in early November, and then you, after that, you adopt it. You have a meeting where you actually discuss and adopt the budget ordinance.
So I want to ask Alderwoman Wilhelm about the motion to renew the agreement. Is that something that would need to be in? Would that be information that the mayor would need in order to put that in his budget for September 22nd?
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I think the mayor could answer that about the budget. He will be presenting it better than I can.
The answer to that question is currently not in the budget for 2016 or 17.
What I'm saying is this a motion that we would need to make tonight in order to authorize you to put that in the budget for 2016?
No, the way that works is Mr. Liberta just told you is any changes you wanted to make to the budget will happen on October.
Once the committee of the whole is one of the only the committee of the whole meetings on the budget are the only committees of the whole where you can actually make a motion. The budget rules allow you as a committee of the whole to make a motion and recommend a change to the mayor's proposed budget, and then that recommended change becomes part of what we would then put in the publication for the budget.
But at the budget hearing, you can also make changes.
Yes, when we need then actually get to the meeting where it's on an agenda, not as a committee of the whole, but as the regular meeting Tuesday, November 17th. That's the regular common council meeting where you'll have the public hearing on the proposed annual budget and then make any motions to adopt the budget. In that process is where you would then confirm any motions made that were tentative to modify his budget. You change it, becomes a budget of the common council, you adopted an ordinance setting the budget.
Thank you.
Mr. City Attorney.
Your deadline is November 17th.
Mr. Alderman Schmidt.
Well, I would like to make the motion to table a decision on renewing the Buxton contract until October 6th.
I'll second that.
And does your motion include the joint meeting with or invitation to the EDC at minimum chair to offer their opinions?
Yes.
Doug?
I think I'll come.
Yes. And Nick also. Did you say Nick?
He'll be here. The staff will be here. You can question whoever you choose. So that's been moved and seconded. Alderman Wilhelm.
I think the city attorney had something that he would like to say before I speak.
I chose not to recognize him, though. Mr. City Attorney.
Only perhaps just for efficiency. Earlier I heard Director of Administration and Senior Planner to provide reports. Perhaps they should provide reports instead of appearing at the meeting, and then there's another lengthy discussion, and then somebody will say there's new information. So maybe you're looking for reports, and also perhaps EDC meets off the top of my head. Well, it's the last Monday of September. I think it's the 28th. Would you want a report from a board or commission or just a summary bullet point or something along those lines so you don't have volunteer board and commission members? They do have staff liaison, which is the assistant city attorney. They can direct him to prepare some brief memo or report. And perhaps that should be understood by our motion and make it more efficient. Then you have
my suggestion is that the meeting is the 28th, and any council member can appear at that meeting, and that we can have it as an agenda topic on EDC. I'll call the chairman and ask him to put it on, and you guys, and then subsequent after that, then they can report back to the council.
So that's both then. So Jesse's, we would take Jesse's line of attack. We'd still be able to attend the meeting anyway, which we could attend anyway. So I like Jesse's, I would recognize Jesse's point as being more important. Report.
Do we want to change the motion or just understand? It's on the table.
I think I was calling.
No, you yielded the floor to Jesse.
To the city attorney, but not to everyone else on the council.
Well, that's how it works with you, though. All right, Alderwoman Wilhelm still has the floor, and then we'll see if we can't figure out this motion.
Okay. I guess I'd like to say to my colleagues that if we're going to be serious about economic development, it should not be an item that we need to argue to get back in the budget. The mayor's told us it's not going to be in the budget. So you can expect that you're going to hear a lot of the budget's tight. You will have to argue to get that money back in the budget or to get it in the budget, whereas if tonight that would be a different story. If the direction was for the mayor to include it in his budget, when it came out, it could be included. Okay. Anyway, I would rather see it be accommodated, economic development accommodated up front, rather than an after the fact item. And you might want to ask yourself, the economic development chair, it's not here. You know, was he notified? We had the opportunity to hear from him. So I know that there's interest on the council for additional retail on 76 and Ross, and I'm concerned of the waning support that could happen if this is an argument to put this back in the budget, and that is why I'm less interested in tabling it, so you know it can be mounted against the 76 and Rawson by that point. And I haven't seen much in the line of feedback or report from any positive thing from the mayor on this, and so I don't expect that it's going to get any better.
Okay, first of all, the mayor's budget is the mayor's budget. No matter what this council wants to do, you cannot order me to put anything in the budget. That's not to say that I wouldn't agree to it. I'm looking for a different kind of agreement with Buxton that provides a different result. That's it. There's a political scheme out there that says the mayor is opposed. The mayor is not opposed. The mayor is looking out for the taxpayers of the city to get a value. Sorry, Cody, but you know, that's the way it is. To characterize me as anti-retail on 76th Street is patently false, and it's 100% political. I've had meetings with lots of developers about 76th Street. We have issues to handle there, and we're working on it. You've also all received reports from Nick on his activities and the results of those activities. So let's quit with this. Yes, you have. It's been in your packet on a number of occasions. And I can get you the list of dates if you'd like.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
We'll do that. So, you know, we can work together or we can continue the crap that we've had for the last 9 months. Work with me. I'll work with Cody. We'll figure something out. Maybe we'll come to some terms. You guys are the ones that decide whether we do it or not. Not me. Alderman Mayor.
I believe we have a motion on the floor.
We do. You want to clarify? Oh, it was Doug's motion.
Move the question.
Well, wait a minute. Let's make sure that we know what the question is. So, move the table. Get a report from the Economic Development Commission. Right? Written or oral? You don't care, right?
Both.
No, we'd like written in the packet, as Jesse suggested.
I seem to have a conflict here.
Oh, okay. I'll go along. Whatever Doug defines it, I'm fine.
So you tell me, Doug, written or oral, or both?
Written.
Okay. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to invite them to the next meeting. We'll also get a written report, which will nearly be a duplication of what was given before, from staff regarding this activity. Does that meet with everybody's objectives? Mm-hmm. Everybody okay?
Isn't staff on the Economic Development Committee, so wouldn't that be... I mean, you're going to ask a volunteer
to write
a report.
Are you going to work with me or not?
No, I'm just saying, you're asking a volunteer to write a report.
I didn't ask anybody to write a report. I asked the Economic Development Commissioner about it. I don't care who writes the report. So, that is your motion, Alderman Schmidt? Alderman Merrick?
Second.
Okay. Mr. City Attorney,
and
I'm trying, folks.
I understand that the Director of Administration and Mr. Fuchs know that the report will include potential changes with regard to the production of what Buxton produces, specifically in regard to the city of Franklin, as mentioned by the mayor earlier.
Everybody will report. Alderman Wilhelm.
So we have them here. Next time the report is up, they won't be here to answer those questions, and they won't be here to address anything, so it would be only fair for them to be able to respond to those, to the report. Can we just make sure that they get it?
Well, sure, but we're characterizing us versus them, and that's right. Not what it is. I told you I was going to ask Mr. Howell some very pointed questions, which I did. I hope you didn't take offense to it.
I gave very pointed answers as well.
Exactly. So, you know, again, it's us versus them.
I think
folks,
we've got
you all
settle.
Recognize
Let's
that.
Just move on. I think we've got the motion going. Let's just take a vote and go.
I was ready to do that minutes ago. Okay, the motion's been made and seconded to table till October, whatever
6th.
It was, and have written reports back from staff and economic development. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
Vote is 4 ayes, 1 no, 1 absent. Motion carries. Thanks, Clerk.
Thank you very much for having us good on the agenda. I would prepare some questions. Outline what next steps are, because I'm very confused.
I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clerk. Okay. Have a safe trip back.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for coming.
Did you stay at the Hampton, by the way?
We did not. We're actually, I almost didn't make it in this morning.
American, it's ready when you are. Okay. Do we want to do DNR lands or the water? Who's here for DNR? Okay.
No, there's at least 5-6 people in the audience for that.
How many are here for the... let's do it differently. How many are here for an MMSD issue? Okay. And how many are here for item 8, the R.E. Smith Water? I know the Lux and Owen. Let's continue on then with G5, conveyance of city of Franklin.
Mayor, could we just, I got a request from Alderman Taylor to table the water issue so he could be here, because there's no representation for the 4th District, and that could allow them to go home. It's a 4th District issue. There's no representation.
So let's move to item G8, a resolution to sign an agreement with R.A. Smith. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
I'll make motion to table to the next meeting.
Is there a second? Discussion of that?
I guess we should have told them that sooner so they wouldn't have to sit through the rest of our show.
all those in favor of tabling to the October 6th. Whatever it is, 6th meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. City Engineer, I should ask you, is there an impact on that?
G8?
Yeah.
All right.
This is G8, the water survey.
Oh,
okay. So, all right, thanks. Go home. Lux.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, move back to G5, conveyance of the City of Franklin, MMSD lands to the City of Franklin. Mr. City Attorney?
Mr. Baby. Tried to provide substantial information with what's contained in the Wisconsin statutes, the relevant Wisconsin Administrative Code, as well as Franklin Municipal Code. There's a lot more there. Tried to not bury people in details, even though there's a lot there. Let me boil this all down for you. If you could turn to the maps that are most recently provided by DNR, and let's perhaps start on what would, well, it's page 117, even though it's not numbered. It's the second map after page 114. The Vandenboom, Katzman, Dunkey property, etc. Here's the big picture, simple version. There are six properties out there now. One is the St. Nicola property, which is on the next map. You don't have to turn to it. That's in District 3. There's one on the prior map, which is the Radicevich, which is in District 1. Then there are these three properties in District 6. Right above the three properties, Franklin, D.C., St. Saba, Ryan Creek, Prairie. Go up a little bit to your upper left, there's a horizontal rectangle with Franklin, D.C. on it. DNR is interested in acquiring from MMSD Franklin, D.C., the Dumpke property already above it, and the Katzman property above that. That's it. The other five properties, Franklin, D.C., Ryan Creek Prairie, and St. Saba, as well as Radicevich on the prior map, and St. Nicola on the next page map, DNR is willing to allow the conveyance of those to the city. As was mentioned during citizen comment, there was a law change in 2010 where the state legislature and then the DNR through administrative code required that all nature-based outdoor activities be continued in perpetuity, if you will, for all of these Green Steams funded properties. And Greens, part of that was a budget bill situation where legislature came up with more money to buy more conservation lands and flood management lands. And part of that was, okay, if taxpayer money's going to be going for this, then we're going to nature base everything. There's going to be a requirement that it stays that way. And the definition of nature-based outdoor activity, if you're wondering what NBOA all over the place means, hunting, fishing, trapping, hiking, cross-country skiing, and then anything else that DNR might say from time to time. So the primary concern is hunting. You heard about trapping. I've highlighted those on a pre-workup that I just cut and pasted here. And there are exceptions. Number one, protect public safety. You can get an exception. You can actually receive conveyance of Green Seams conservation land without having hunting on it as mandatory if you can show that it's necessary to protect public safety. And then it gets into a couple other factors, protect a unique animal or plant community, or accommodate usership patterns as defined by rule by the department. Here's the bottom line, and I guess I've been a lawyer for a long time, and I've been to the Supreme Court and courts of appeals. I could write a book on how it's important to protect safety for each one of these properties. Flip side is, this has been a policy decision made by the Wisconsin legislature as well as the DNR board, and haven't had an opportunity to spend whatever time it would take to go back meeting by meeting to see just how many times somebody had requested one of these exceptions to the DNR board. But what we heard from DNR staff, and the mayor was present at a meeting at DNR with multiple DNR and MMSD staff, as well as Milwaukee County and planning staff. And the answer was, it's strictly interpreted by DNR. Their DNR administrative code rules strictly interpret the requirements to support these activities continuing and not allowing for an exception thereto. And I don't know that I heard that since the law change in 2010 that the DNR board did not ever allow one, but that was in effect the communication that the board does not grant these. Doesn't mean couldn't write the beautiful presentation for the DNR. But that's what we talked about at the last meeting, where roughly in common sense there are three alternatives. Allow hunting, you've got five properties, here they are, but then you got to allow all the nature-based outdoor activities, including hunting, trapping, etc. Number two, say no to the properties, and then you don't get them. Or number three, maybe there's some compromise there in different areas. And I think I spoke prior to the last meeting with Franklin Chief of Police. And this was just a reaction. He had not studied it, et cetera, but he's obviously aware of the concerns, primarily at the Zielinski property. Mr. Zielinski and his wife were here at the last meeting and spoke at some length on the subject matter. But he did not have a concern with regard to the properties in the 116th Street area. Did have a definite no, should not be done with regard to the St. Nicola property, and I don't know that I recall what he mentioned with regard to the Ortiz Fitch property on the bend in Highway 100 where it turns into St. Martin's Road. So over the past 2 weeks, part and parcel of all these legal citations was research. There were communications with the Department of Natural Resources. I will say that each and every contact with DNR has been extremely cooperative in the sense of clear and obvious efforts to provide information, et cetera, et cetera. But that does not mean that to date all information has been provided. I had a couple of discussions with separate DNR staff members yesterday, one at length. It had made previously and re-asked for those yesterday, and it went with regard to what are these payments in lieu of tax amounts, et cetera. The maintenance costs were handed out by Diane Robinson from DNR at the last meeting. Also, I had questions because part of DNR's presentation or question and answer at the last meeting was that there's a difference between if a municipality receives the property from MMSD, have to allow hunting, but if a not-for-profit land conservancy corporation or entity receives it, that would not be a requirement. I found that nowhere in the statutes or admin code. Had requested DNR staff to provide that next day or close to that. Ultimately did receive that from higher up at DNR, and I didn't see it anywhere in the somewhat lengthy citations, et cetera, et cetera. And then I got back to DNR staff and they didn't see it either. I did get a call at after 5 o'clock today because I heard this report that supports that position was hopefully going to be provided by today, and there was some thought that DNR staff members would be here, but that did not occur. There was also discussion yesterday that maybe a final decision from DNR staff, we like this idea, we will recommend this with the city, etc., but that did not occur. And so here's what the entire status is. Those are called, and I'll give you the hypothetical, and this is just a hypothetical, and I always say I don't make decisions. Nobody's directed me. This is just a hypothetical. On the one hand, you have DNR saying all of these five properties have to allow hunting. So I looked at the maps. I looked at the 100-yard prohibitory area from hunting around homesteads, and talked to the alderperson for each district where there are these properties. And here was my hypothetical. And I received positive comments yesterday with DNR staff with regard to District 3, St. Nicola, no hunting. With regard to Radisovich in District 1, no hunting. With regard to the properties on page, whatever I said it was, 116-17, no hunting on the Rhine Creek Prairie, which is the butterfly property. No hunting on the St. Saba property. And then see that ending line there, which is the We Energies property, which used to be the Milwaukee to Burlington Interurban Rail Line. Said perhaps that becomes a public park buffer area. And so still no hunting on the lower Franklin DC property, but would allow it on that horizontal Franklin DC that goes to DNR, and that's it. So essentially, no hunting on any of the Franklin properties would change the ordinance to allow for the horizontal Franklin DC that DNR wants. And there were positive comments yesterday. The answer today, which I was told might be available, ultimately ended up with, here's the process. You want to propose that, we'll set up a meeting with the director of the stewardship fund, and we will include DNR wardens, primarily because the number one stated concern so far is public safety, and that would include city representatives, police chief, etc., as well as MMSD representatives. And we have a meeting and we do factual presentations, but it basically is a meeting among staff. Then the entire issue is reviewed by DNR staff, and DNR staff will determine what their opinion is for a recommendation. Do we think the standards have been met, that it's necessary to protect public safety, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And if they determine so, then DNR staff will recommend to the DNR board that no hunting be allowed at all these properties. So that's a question mark. I always say I never predict, and I did not get a prediction. Well, DNR staff, do you think that's a good idea based on all the meetings we've had, et cetera? And didn't get an answer. That process might take a couple of months. And there's no guarantee on it. Could the city of Franklin make a great case? Yes, but you hand the case off to DNR staff and they make the recommendation. If they say, no, you have to allow hunting, that goes to the DNR board first then, and now you're at almost a two-month period, a couple of months, and that's rough. Then Franklin files a paper to contest the staff's determination. Then you get the public notice and the timing for public comment, and then you argue the case before the board. So now you're easily into next year, is my guess. So here's an alternative that, as far as I'm concerned, is new, because it's business about how you treat a not-for-profit organization. And I'll just refer to MAL, Milwaukee Area Land Conservancy, because Franklin Common Council has done a number of things, Prairie Grass Preserve, et cetera, et cetera. Why would MAL get this property and can say no hunting, et cetera, et cetera? The answer from DNR staff, which I'm still waiting on the written legal answer, because nobody, including their staff, can find where the law says a not-for-profit is treated different than a municipality. But the answer is that I'll be getting that probably tomorrow. And I said, well, how does that work? And so today I said, I haven't found it, but I'll assume this report will be legally absolutely correct, and if it's confirmed that is the department's position, I said, all right, what if that's the answer? Maybe as an alternative, Franklin says, picks up the phone and calls. I'm just using MALC as an example. Could be any conservation trust fund. Calls Mel. Hey, Mel, here's the deal. We've been talking to MMSD since January about acquiring these properties that they own. And now since June 29th, DNR has settled this interest and has produced all these 2010 amendments that were never mentioned before to the state laws. Would you want to be a partner in effect to a three-party transaction? MMSD deeds the property to Malk, and at the same time as Malk is receiving the deed in their right hand, their left hand, they're handing either a 99-year lease or a perpetual easement to the city, saying that the city will continue to enforce all the conservation values, etc., as a public park and support all the purposes of the conservation laws except no hunting, no trapping. DNR staff, and I put it to two different staff members, and one repeatedly, the answer was, that'll work. So.
But you still don't have the letter.
In any event, that's an alternative that's out there. And in the perfect world, you sit at your desk and write all this up when the answers are confirmed by DNR that yes, that'll work. And that would be, I haven't spoken to a single DNR lawyer. I'm working with staff. They've been inquiring of lawyers, or we're trying to anyway. But I go direct to the lawyers here. Will this work? And then that's what it would be. Three-party arrangements. It would be public property for impact fee purposes. It would go into that two-month duration outside of the only staff review comment was if the easement or the lease to the city from Malk is to be recorded, then they would need to review it. If it doesn't have to be recorded with the Register of Deeds, they would just want to look at it. I don't know what this, I said yes, it would be recorded. So that might be the answer here. And none of the properties would allow hunting then, except for what's there right now. And the city would change its own hunting ordinance, just like it did in 2010, to allow for hunting, shotgun hunting, as well as bow hunting on banded boom cats, min and donkey. You add Franklin, D.C., the small horizontal one to that, and then you have this thing. So that's hunting, and that stays right to the north of the citizen who spoke, who's building a house on Ryan Road there, so it can continue to hunt there. Just wouldn't come all the way down to the houses. I have no idea what the other property owners thought about it. Because one of the alternatives, I think there are alternatives all over the place. Maybe everything west of 116th Street. Maybe the common council would say, okay to hunt on that. Maybe it's okay to hunt on the Hack property, even though Pastor Ben was here at the last meeting and I talked to him and the church was not in favor of that. But maybe not Decevich, and definitely not St. Nicola. Anyway, I can work on it. If I do this, let's do a... And no guarantee that it'll work, because it's just an idea. I'm being told by the people who deal with this all the time, but they're only staff at the legal department there, that it'll work. Should I go that route? Then there's no hunting on any of the five city properties. It just all stays where it is right now and adds that small horizontal Franklin, D.C. I also discussed with them hunting, well, as Mr. Zielinski mentioned, that sliver parcel, if you will, between his house and Mr. Haley's house to the south, and the only answer was No, the only distance marker is 100 yards from a house, and that's it. I mentioned all the other standards, 50 feet from a road. And the one that I came up with, which DNR, all of this was shared with DNR on Friday. The one statute I came up with was Section 167.31. No hunting within 40 rods of a public park. 40 rods is 660 feet. So if you can't hunt within 40 rods of a park, to me that says you can't hunt in the park either. And it's a long story about when you start looking at the whole maps, would that be a problem for the for horizontal, frankly, to see it, et cetera. So I came up with this buffer park on the inner urban line. DNR staff, and that's yesterday and today, and they've had it since Friday, is not familiar whatsoever with that statute. That's what it says. And I didn't focus for 2 days trying to find where else it'd be, but wherever it showed up in the statute, I didn't find any exception. So I think that's out there. I am going to talk to DNR legal counsel about that. So that's another alternative. One last, I know, well, there's a lot going on here. One last point. One of the requirements is to maintain. Handout last time from Diane Robinson had costs thereon. And I had asked for and finally received this morning, what are these payment in lieu of tax amounts? And here's the very simple version. And there's all different kinds of class one, class two, class three. Is it Savannah? Is it Grassland? Is it a trip? And same with regard a little bit to the pilot. Bottom line on the pilot payments, you know, payments in lieu of taxation, they come to the city from the DNR. Bottom line, it's $10 an acre. I won't give you the detail, but the example I received in writing was 44.79 acres or whatever. The annual payment in lieu of taxes is $445 or $47. Round off some of these class or grade one, grade two, grade three, class one, two, three type of lands. Guess that we're talking about grasslands, especially around 116th Street. And I came up with $100 an acre, just annual maintenance, not restoration. So what's that? Oh, that would be about $4,570 or whatever. So it's 10 times what you get from the DNR. So there's actually some expenditure requirements here. The DNR's comment was, well, the Land Trust Conserve, if you go that direction, well, they finance these things. They'll be able to do it. And I've been around a little bit with volunteer organizations that do charitable grant work, et cetera, et cetera. But one thought was this, and I know that Diane Robinson repeatedly mentioned the St. Saba property, for one, is substantially buckthorn-related. Perhaps on this three-party transaction, there's a cooperative effort to provide the maintenance with the MALC, and the city perhaps comes up, the city will donate or provide $10 an acre per year, you know, whatever it comes out to, which, you know, $500 for 50 acres, and join the economic or environmental commission in terms of the effort to maintain and potentially restore, and it also provides a site for mitigation. You have these natural resources, new development. Where can we go? Do you have like DNR has, you can get credits? It's an easy answer at this point. Go to the St. Saba property on 116th Street, provide or the cost of removing buckthorn for a year or 2 years, and the cost is covered. So there's all that kind of interesting stuff. And I know I was at the Plan Commission, and I know the Common Council President would say removing buckthorn is mitigation, and other people would say that, no, you have to create or expand existing natural resources to cover mitigation. In any event, in the real world, there are the impact fee matching amounts, and that's a substantial amount due by November, by December, and then very substantial by March. The donations just on 116th Street area of this land would cover it, and overall, you're speaking in excess, well in excess of $1 billion that has been expended to acquire these properties, MMSD, stewardship fund through the state, as well as the conservation fund. I mean, this is well in excess of $1 billion donation for the city, let me get right down to it. So that's my boiled down short version.
Could you repeat that?
Yes, I could, because I've done that every day since the September 1 meeting.
How many times have I heard it?
With updates.
After I get my 2 cents, it's Alderwoman Mayer, then Alderwoman Wilhelm. One question for the city attorney that hasn't been asked